don't forget to subscribe, make a comment, give the thumbs up. This is our goal for Father Knows. This is for Two Hot Takes. This is where she got 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
We're a little over 40,000.
We're getting some work, there, baby.
We got some work to go, but this is a goal for me because I want one of these signs. So if you guys can help me out, this would be the best, best Christmas present.
Father's Day is coming up. Can we do it in a couple months?
So if everyone reached out and got someone to join in,
I like that.
We would be at 80,000 without a problem.
Let's go.
So help us get into the hyperspace and don't forget to press the subscribe button.
And enjoy the episode.
Bye. Wow, this is, we haven't been here in a while.
No.
So hello, everyone out there. This is Jerry from Or Dad, FKS, and we're back.
That was funny.
Yeah, I know. But it's been weird because we haven't been sitting here for a while.
No, we've been at the home studio quite a bit.
And you've been on, again, tour. More time. And on your tour, you met Aline, and Aline gave me a pair of socks for the shoe, and there's nice berries, and there's mushrooms, and there's a frog. I guess that's significant that there is some of us kiss frogs for a while.
Yeah. She also gave us this blanket.
Wow.
And if you feel it.
Oh, it's very soft.
I know. It's like one of the softest blankets I think I've ever felt.
And again, we have frogs.
They match your socks.
I see.
Yeah.
It's
coordinating.
It's almost like Eye of a Newt. Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Aline's business is House of Hex. Really, really cute stuff. And some spooky stuff too. So
For all you spooky goers.
Yeah. But let's get right into this today. This is a part two for our Be aggressive.
Okay.
Theme. And we have Justin with us this time.
And I left Holly at home. But some people are saying, how's Holly? Holly's great. She is doing fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like I'm going to sneeze. Ah, it's so painful when you have to sneeze and then you lose it.
Try having your memory and a thought and you can't interrupt somebody. And the next thing you know, the thought's gone. You go, I couldn't get it out. I don't know where it went.
It happens a lot.
And you're looking like this, dazed.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It happens a lot.
Practice makes perfect.
One more thing I was going to share with you guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if I did or not, but I'd like to remind everybody that coming up like May 4th, may the 4th be with you.
Okay.
Be with you.
It's Star Wars Day.
So I'm excited because you guys got me the lightsaber.
Yes.
I have my Obi-Wan Kenobi lightsaber. And I thought that even if it would be also fun, it's on Saturday, the first Saturday of May, which means it's going to be Derby Day. And if we ever got to make it to Louisville to go to Derby, which would be very cool, I would wear my Obi-Wan Kenobi outfit and my Star Wars thing and walk around the Derby.
I like that.
Yes. Maybe.
Do they allow that?
I don't think they'd let you bring in a big stick.
I don't know, but I know what my name would be. Even if I had it hanging, it would be Darth Derby.
That's actually pretty good.
Or Darth Horse.
Not okay. Too bad. I wonder if there are any racehorses Star Wars names.
I don't know.
Okay, let's jump into this, huh?
Okay. Story number one.
Number one. Hi, Jerry, Morgan, Justin. I'm only 21, but genuinely feel like I'm going to be alone forever. Yes, I know that I'm young and that everyone's first reaction will be, don't worry, you have your whole life to find someone. Sure, maybe. But being 21 and not even having been close to a relationship makes me feel hopeless. The closest I've been is 3 dates with the same person. And then an unexpected message that I was exactly everything they wanted in a partner in theory, but that the spark wasn't quite there. Otherwise, it has been a series of first dates followed by either ghosting or that they weren't interested. Of course, I'm not blaming any of these people. You like who you like, and you shouldn't pursue anything that doesn't feel right. It's just so disheartening when I don't seem to be the right person for literally anyone to enter even a short relationship with me. And my lack of dating experience just makes me feel more behind and worthless the more time goes by. I've been on dating apps for a few years and I'm very socially active, going out to school events and to bars and such. So I feel like I'm putting myself out there as best as I can. It has come to the point these last months where just wanting a relationship for once in my life is taking up an unhealthy amount of brain space. And I know that this is not an ideal situation for exactly being able to find a relationship. I feel like I need some advice on how to turn around this vicious cycle in my head and how to navigate these thoughts. I feel so alone and hopeless that I haven't even gotten to experience one actual relationship, since that is something I want so much. And on the other hand, I feel really pathetic for thinking about wanting a relationship when it doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen anyways. Sorry for the long post. I know that I sound like a really dramatic young person, and I probably am, haha. But hearing your thoughts on this would feel very comforting in a way. Additional info, I'm lesbian and neurodivergent, which of course adds a smaller selection of people to date and a bit of social awkwardness.
What does neurodivergence mean?
Neurodivergent?
Neurodivergent, yes.
Just means that you're not like the usual brain. Like you could have ADHD, you could have autism, you could be dyslexic. Your brain just works a little bit differently than what people consider normal.
So what was really coming to my mind was there was a movie with Robin Williams in it and called Mrs. Doubtfire. And as the person was describing a problem, he basically used the word, I think it was poppin' or something, like he was playing Mrs. Doubtfire and giving advice. And she said, you know, you have a long life ahead of you and you don't have to rush these things. It's going to come. There is a shoe for every foot, for every other foot, right foot, left foot, there's for every pair. And you just don't push it. They say the more you look, the more you're not going to find it. The more you wait, the more you're waiting, 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 and you're pressing on it. Don't. Just do what you're doing. Continue on your path. Do your daily thing. And out of nowhere, this person, whoever this person is, will show up. And never lose faith that that person is there. The universe works in a very unique way with every individual. And because it just didn't splash it to you right now, there's a reason why the universe is taking her forever loving time. So that's my feeling. I just say, don't push it. Look, I've been looking for the perfect match as well. And I've had some matches that were close and I've had matches that were far. And the ones that I've tried to make work, because I thought it was perfect and I thought things could be right. And maybe I was requiring too much. And I always learned that when you get to the magic one, everything changes inside. And, you know, it's best that you don't bring them on this roller coaster if they're not the right one. You know, let them go loose to find the person that really is their person. Don't be so selfish in some ways to looking at it the way I had to look at it for myself, to take up their time when their time is precious. And they may not agree with you that you're not the right one for them. But you know yourself. So follow in your heart. Do what you have to do to keep yourself, your own mind active, and that person will show up.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this one?
I think it's almost a little bit daunting and discouraging, the whole like the one. Like if you're literally trying to go through this life trying to find one singular person that was meant for you, that sounds like a very scary task. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the more you keep not finding that person, it's like, well, will I ever?
Yeah.
It's like finding a needle in a haystack. But
can I ask a question? There can be more than one. I mean, you
depends on what you believe in.
I mean, basically there are people that you can be attracted to that will come into your life, that it's a lot of it's timing as well. There's no doubt there's timing to find you know, might be amongst a few of the ones. I haven't found the right person that I can do that with. And maybe if there's 50 of them out there or 1,000 of them out there, I still haven't found one of those thousands yet.
Yeah, I think there's many, many, like the ones out there for anybody. It's just the place, the context, the timing. I don't know how many options per person, but I think everyone has a significant number of people out there that could be their forever person. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of your life together and how you interact and everything that makes them the one, mm-hmm. instead of it being good luck going and finding your one out of how many billions of people. Mm-hmm. Because that to me would be more discouraging rather than just kind of sitting back, and because that almost makes it a mission, mm-hmm. versus just like sitting back and letting it happen. And I also think maybe if you are struggling to find people that connect with you or, you know, get to that second, third date, do we analyze what's happening at first date, or are we just meeting the wrong people from the wrong places? Like you always say, go into your passions, go into things you like to do, and then you'll find like-minded people, and then you'll probably be able to form a connection quicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned place too, because I feel like for me, I was thinking like maybe you're just in the wrong pond. And like being a lesbian, being a neurodivergent person, if you're in a very small town, you're going to be ultra limited by the fish in your pond. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you come out to LA, lesbian and neurodivergent, that's half of my friends. Like, it's just kind of like you could place yourself maybe in a pond that suits you a little better. And that's where it's like, okay, well, like be aggressive in terms of like finding your person, but don't get discouraged. Some of my best friends didn't have their first relationship until 25, 24. So like, I feel like you're right on time. You're like dating, like it's hard. It can be discouraging, but you're going on all these dates. You're meeting all these people to hopefully then determine what you are really into, what you really like. So when you do find someone, you know, when you're a little older and people are starting to settle down, you're going to know exactly what you're looking for and who you're going to blend with. Mm-hmm.
I do believe a lot of it's timing. And just like you said, being with the same type of people in your pond, obviously her pond is still looking for someone that is a lesbian, but that does not mean that person that she is looking for is in her own mind a
neurodivergent.
A neurodivergent. Thank you. I was having a brain slip. You know, but it doesn't mean that she won't connect with a person that is a neurodivergent.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, it's just finding people that again, go out of your element and see other things that you may want to try. And you may find that you do enjoy, and you may find someone that would like to do it with you.
Yeah.
And then you can grow from that.
Yeah.
The things mentioned here, dating apps, mm-hmm. school events, and bars. Mm-hmm. Though I found luck on a dating app, mm-hmm. I still think, you know, school events and bars are really tough. Mm-hmm. I was never the person to meet someone at a bar. I never met someone at a school event. Mm-hmm. It's more whatever you like to do, go outside of school and do it, join a club that is affiliated with that. There's other people at your school that have the same interests, and maybe they're just not the ones at that event or at that bar.
Yeah.
So I've just sensed the discouragement, mm-hmm. and it's more just like, you want to look back on these years and be like, man, I had a great experience at school. Maybe I didn't find the person for me. But man, did I have a good time during those years. And mm-hmm. don't let this take away from all the experiences you have, because it will happen.
Yeah. I honestly wish I wouldn't have dated anyone in college, because I missed out on so much. And I look at you and like, you're putting yourself out there in so many ways and really enjoying your college experience. So dating, it will come. But keep doing what you love, and maybe pottery class or knitting or, you know, a sewing
or,
class.
Salsa dancing.
I'm looking in my head back in the times that were, you know, and I'm 66 years old, which means I've been out there a long time. And I don't remember any relationship that I met in a bar that
really went anywhere.
Went anywhere.
I feel the same way.
And yeah, I did meet a lot of people on dating sites. But now that I'm, you know, what I look at myself as being single, and I'm not looking right now. But the last place that I came out of this thing saying that I'm going to go back to a dating site, I did not go. I'm not running to a dating site. But I would be interested in probably going dancing again. I may want to go do an art class. I know that when I was younger, I got into flying, and that opened a whole new community for me just by going to the airports. And I look at the young people at the airport that I hang out at now, and they all have their groups.
Their crews.
I mean, yeah. they take up on a Sunday. They say, let's go to Catalina. So there's 7 airplanes, all these buddies, and they're women and men both. Off to Catalina, they're flying. You know, as a crew.
Yeah.
It's kind of, there are so many things that are out there that you can expose yourself that is mind growing. I remember that I was with somebody that liked Scrabble. And Friday, the first Friday or the last Friday of the month, there would be Scrabble night. And I got to tell you, I enjoyed those nights. I really did. And like when we play Catan, get a Catan group, because I miss using things that use my cranium.
Cranium.
My cranium. I
haven't heard that one in a while.
And what's inside of that thing. So, you know, you want to be with people that intellectually that you can grow. And that's the most important part of the relationship, is that can we grow together and ascend to go like Buzz, you know, Buzz Lightyear was ascending beyond.
Mm-hmm.
It's not descend, it's ascend and beyond, or to...
To infinity and beyond.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's my thought. So definitely look into other things for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Up next.
Number 2.
What number?
2.
Hi.
Hi.
I love Father Knows and THT, but I've recently had a Reddit-worthy experience happen to me. See, my boyfriend came over a few nights ago wanting to talk. Turns out he was breaking up with me. He was ready to. He had all my shit in the back to give back to me. He told me, but then kept going back and forth saying he doesn't know what he wants to do. We talked for hours and cried a lot, but in the end, he said he loved me and he always will, and he wants to work through it together. So obviously, that was traumatic. Like, I love this man with my whole heart. Fast forward to yesterday. He was at my house before going to work. He fell asleep on the couch and I was awake on my phone. One thing about me is I genuinely feel so wrong going through people's phones. I don't think it's right, but I got on his phone just wanting to leave some Snapchat photos on there. His Snap opens and I recognize everyone but one user, a girl user. So naturally I tap on it and start looking. He had been complimenting her at night while I slept. I almost immediately woke him up, where he began apologizing so much. He said it didn't mean anything and it was all fake, but I just can't believe him. I found the girl and texted her about it. She was the sweetest and most helpful person. She told me how he'd been flirty with her and how he told her I was mean to him and how he wasn't happy with me. Then she showed me the text from the night we almost broke up. He texted her saying he didn't do it, but there's basically still a chance we are going to break up. She said she supported me and him in our relationship, and he told her not to support me. He says he was only talking to her because he thought we were going to break up, but if anything, that just hurts more. I want to trust him so badly, but the last few days have me questioning if this man even likes me.
Dump his ass.
You know, he wouldn't be looking if he was fully... if the cup was reached the line that he's looking for. And it's not that he's an asshole or you're inferior. It's just that it's not the right relationship. And take the warning that you just got and definitely go through the breakup and or a separation. Let him have some time without the reliance upon you in his life. And you need to go see where you are on your own. And if somebody else comes along, great. And if they don't, that you have to first be able to deal with yourself and be comfortable within yourself. And then the right person will be able to all of a sudden will show up because you'll allow it at that point in time and you'll be healthier. You just can't jump out of this thing and, you know, first of all, you can't jump right back in with him because it doesn't solve the problem. There is a problem very evident here. And when we're in relationships that we have all the checks, all the boxes are checked, we're not looking. We don't open that door. That door is locked tight with the person we're in that relationship. When some of those boxes are open, those are places where something can sneak in. And it's that simple. So the fact that he is, whatever reason, he is all over the place with this, that's not enough reason why you need to stay there.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys can certainly break up, take your relationship and go back into a relationship where you can be friends, or you may want to hang out if that's what you guys choose to do, but not to become and pollute it, make the waters muddy. And see if we can just be friends and then see where that may grow over a period of time. If whatever was missing does, we figure it out. So that, I would say, is not out of your ball, not out of your radar or your ability, but certainly do not stay in a committed relationship at all. Don't have that expectation.
No, I think you got to break up. Like at a certain point, you need to understand what you're worth. And when people don't respect you mm-hmm. or value you, that is your time to walk. He showed up with a box of your stuff. He was already done. Mm-hmm. He was kicking you to the curb in the box to the left. Like that is literally you. And so he didn't even value your input or your conversation into like, I'm not happy. It was, I want to break up. Here's your box. Because he was entertaining someone else on the side. Mm-hmm. That is an emotional affair. Him saying, oh, I, you know, she's mean to me and
that's bullshit. That was crap.
We're going to break up. That's bullshit. Be done. Like stand your ground, be aggressive, air quotes on that, mm-hmm. but like be done. This is just too immature of a relationship and it's not worth sticking this out. When there's so many other people that wouldn't treat you like this.
Yeah. Don't invest your heart in this person right now. No. Period.
I mean, I think when it came to it, he was like, oh, wait. And then now is trying to keep his options open.
Yeah. He wants to have his cake and eat it too.
And there's no way it wasn't well thought through because every time you'd put an item of someone's stuff in a box, mm-hmm. every single one, you're thinking about it. Every one of those is a chance to not do it.
That's
and
so true.
And you made that decision so many times to show up. And it seems like he hasn't been with this other girl. So the one positive for him is that he's communicating on a base level, just on a base level to say he's like trying to break up, but then he kind of retracted and pulled back from that. But at least you're not being, I know it still hurts, but you're not being cheated on.
Correct.
At least in a physical manner. You had a girl that came very clean and was very open with you.
Girl, I love it.
Yeah. Like someone that's
absolutely.
Yeah. Someone that is very mature. So you two mature girls should just go move on and do your thing and let this guy go figure his stuff out.
Yeah.
And yeah, it may come around at some point in the future, but the only chance you guys have at having an effective, healthy relationship in the future is to completely break up and be apart for a time and see other people like go about your lives. And if really somehow you get pulled back together and you're in each other's lives, mm-hmm. then maybe it works. Cause I've seen that.
Yeah.
But right now we're never going to get there staying together.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Up next. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp.
How's your social battery this week?
I'm a little burnt out. I've had to set some tough boundaries this week, and I've probably spread myself a little too thin.
Do you feel like your little meter is like all the way on the E and the little red light's on?
It is at zero, which makes me all the more sure that I need to get back into therapy and recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life, be able to set boundaries, all the above, and not have it drain your battery. So if you've been on the fence about online therapy, just not sure where to begin, you could give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I have loved online therapy in the past. It has taught me so many positive coping skills that I wouldn't have been able to get to on my own. It's super easy to get started. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist. One thing I love is that you can switch providers at any time at no additional charge.
So if the first provider doesn't work well for you.
Bye, Felicia.
And then you get.
A new one.
And then you're happy.
That's the goal.
You just have to feel your way through it.
Exactly.
But the most important thing is you have to give it a shot. Give it a try. Because without trying, there is no help.
You don't know. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/FKS today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/FKS.
Number three.
Hi, Jerry, Morgan, and Justin. I've been listening to Two Hot Takes for a long time, but I was a little late to the party on Father Knows, but I'm here.
Welcome to our party.
So my 20 female problem regards my ex, 19 male. We broke up in July of last year. We are both in new relationships now, but something's haunting me. He used to take pictures while we had sex and pressured me to send nudes, which he saved to his My Eyes Only folder. As far as I know, he still has them. Our breakup was messy, and this was the least of my problems at the time. But now, it's all I can think about. I don't know how to go about making sure he no longer has them. He had a habit of lying, omitting the truth, and gaslighting, so I'm not sure if I should talk to him about it. The only other option I have are to ask his mom or current girlfriend to check. But I feel like that would be crossing a line or come across like I'm trying to ruin his relationship. Plus, I would be mortified if his mom or anyone else saw those. I also don't know if I should talk to my current boyfriend about it. He's a kind-hearted, understanding, and empathetic person, and has also been in an emotionally and mentally abusive relationship, but I don't know how he would react. I don't know if I should find a way to make sure those pictures are gone or to just let it go. Ideal outcome, I just want peace of mind. No matter if it's letting it be and letting the universe handle it or reaching out to him or someone in his life to make sure they are gone. Other info, I don't know his girlfriend personally. I just know they're together from social media. His family also doesn't like me very much because I broke up with him and because of my Indigenous heritage and spirituality. They're very conservative Christians. I wouldn't know where to begin if I had to reach out to them.
Well, I definitely have a thought on this one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone has their, I use the word kink and I don't want it to be misunderstood, but evidently this is part of his kink is to take movies and pictures. And if he's doing it with you or wanted to do it with you, he probably, good chance that he tried to get other people to do it as well.
Yeah.
So she might be in for the same thing. She may not be in for the same thing.
His current girlfriend?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I would probably do is one of two options. Both options definitely invite the new girlfriend into the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Option one, go to her and say, look, I'm not trying to cause any issues with you guys. I have a concern. And I know that the last thing in the world you want to do is look at nudes or videos of me and Bob doing it. But Bob had videos that he asked me to prepare for him. And the only way I know that I can get them out of his hands is he may ask the same thing of you, is to make sure those things are destroyed. Because you go to Bob. Bob may say, oh yeah, I got rid of those.
I know, it's hard to take his word for it.
We'll never know it, but you can go to both of them and say, look, you know, we're obviously done. We're gone. Bob, I'm not trying to ruin your relationship. And Susan, I'm not trying to get between you guys. I just know that this is something that's there, and I want to make sure that for my own protection, that it's gone. I don't know what laws are out there.
There's not a lot. I mean,
privacy
even,
laws and you go ahead.
Well, I know there's laws on like revenge porn. So if he were to release them as, you know, revenge or because he was mad and things like that without her consent, that's revenge porn. And that can be prosecuted. But it, something I was thinking of is I wish there were laws that you could request your data, your content, your IP to be deleted from someone else's device if you're no longer consenting. But I'm not sure if there's anything like that out there.
I don't know either. So I think the best remedy that really does give you a good shot is why their relationship is fresh. Before he gets it all from her, she makes sure that it's deleted with him.
I don't think I would care if I had Justin's ex reach out to be like, hey, like, can you just double check and make sure my pictures are deleted? I would be like, yeah, girl, like, I got you. But I'm also at a very, like, secure, mature spot. So I know the wrong person could feel threatened, could be like, why the fuck would she ask me this? Like, I could see it going bad. But I personally, that was my thought. Mm-hmm. I'd be more comfortable reaching out to her. Mm-hmm. Don't do the mom, especially if the family doesn't like you. I think you have to reach out to her. Hey, you know, I'm really, you know, happy for you guys. Like, this has nothing to do with you and your relationship. Could you just make sure that the pictures of me have since been deleted? You know, it's just kind of a thing that worries me now. I have a new boyfriend and I just don't want that stuff of me out there. What if he got hacked? You know, stuff can end up on the internet really easily. Just want to be safe. Better to be safe than sorry. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then if she doesn't respond, you can then reach out to him. But that's kind of your options, I think.
Just being realistic.
Yeah.
Because you probably don't want to hear this. But you can, there's no way to guarantee those are gone, ever.
No.
Like, sure, the My Eyes Only folder, there's hard drives, there's computers, mm-hmm. there's
iCloud.
Little tiny thumb drives. There's a million different servers online. There is no way you can ever make sure he doesn't have those. It's just impossible. So I think here's the point we're at.
Okay.
You can let this girl know and have her check simply as if it gives you a little peace of mind. And if you think it'll help her, great. Mm-hmm. Besides that, from my perspective, I realized the fact that I could never guarantee this. And for me personally, I look forward and I just move forward and I go on.
Yeah.
Because you know what? If the reality is, I think we're getting to a point in society where when stuff like this gets released or things happen, we have seen a shift where people are less like, oh, like every, like it turns into this firestorm. I think it's more just like, yeah, that's me. I had a shitty ex that released that. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? I do stuff that like I have sex. I sent nudes. Who doesn't? And you know what? They got released and it becomes a thing and it goes away. This isn't life shattering, life ending.
No.
This is just simply, you know, and I almost worry a little bit about he may not even think about this. He may not even know he still has them. And all of a sudden you're opening up this door to, oh, wait, yeah, I do have those pictures of you. And then it turns into this
shitstorm. You know,
who knows?
Yeah. He could get mad, especially if it ruined his new relationship.
So I just feel most comfortable turning, looking forward, hoping they don't come out, because more often than not, I would say it's a higher chance that you'll never hear of it. You'll never know of it. Nothing will ever happen with those.
That is true.
And you just look forward and stop worrying about it.
Well, and if they did get released, then you could actually go after him for revenge porn.
I will just say this has two circumstances that hit home with me. First one, I did have a girlfriend that used to send me shit. And when we broke up, she said, would you mind deleting it all? Now, I did delete it all. I made sure it wasn't around. A, because I have an open phone policy. I don't give a shit. You know, if you're going to do it and you feel you need to, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
I don't look at anybody else's phone because I really don't care. But I do know that when, you know, that you do say, be careful when you go into someone's phone, that you're not allowed to go, but my phone, there's nothing there. So, and I feel comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you guys go on, you go in my phone all the time.
We take peeks.
So yeah. And there's nothing there. It's cool. But
peeks.
Well, no, like but you let just me, hop but, on to find a picture.
Right.
Like,
I know, you know but I mean? Just the way
we
you
take peeks.
Like,
yeah. But I did have a conversation with a friend of mine, not 4 or 5 months ago, that a girlfriend of hers was, you know, told me that story that she went to, you know, to out of her state, met a guy, hooked up with the guy, had an amazing experience, went way out of her element, and then she didn't see the guy ever again. And he did something that pissed her off and she just limited. But so he started sending her pictures that he photographed of them. And she went nuts.
Damn. Did she know?
She did not know. I don't know if she did or didn't at the time. But you know, obviously the guy was creepy. And she says, what do I do? And my answer to was, at this point, there is so much content out there that it's blinding. That if you think anyone's going to see whatever, you know, you're not famous. You're not. There's nothing that's going to sit there and go in your life. There's so much crap out there. No one's going to see anything. So you just can't let that worry you for the rest of your life.
No. And I wouldn't. I would say, you know, if you want to try reaching out to her and asking her to check or delete whatever, do it. But then after that, you gotta move on. Like, Justin makes great points. And like, I think that is something to really consider. Like, am I opening a can of worms by reaching out?
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't come out. And if it did, I could sue him for revenge porn. So, you know, you might just be at that point of like, it's better to move on.
You remember Mission Impossible, Mr. Phelps, you know, in 3 seconds, this tape will self-destruct. Only send self-destructing tapes.
The problem is you should feel safe sending stuff to your partner and hoping, you know, like if you're with a person that you don't think you can send stuff to, don't send stuff. Like mm-hmm. that person's not safe. But the reality is you should be able to send things to your partner if you want to. But unfortunately, technology, it's not always safe. It's not always secure. Snapchat, the place where you could send nudes and they would disappear. You can screenshot now. You can screen record. You know, there's all these things.
You could just have a second phone.
Yeah, I think it's something where if you want to be safer than sorry, definitely don't send things. But also at the same time, like this person thought they were with a loving, caring partner. And
yeah.
It's one of those things like we don't want to victim blame because she is a victim in this. And it's just better to be safe than sorry.
Well, she was pressured
and she,
to do it. It's not the fact that she was like, you know, I feel like there's either people that like doing this or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that probably shamelessly send nudes all the time.
People love it. They get off on it.
Fuck it. Like,
yeah,
whatever. Like, I like doing it.
I got nice tits. I'm going to show them.
But in this one, it's like, it feels like it was more pressured and that you're not that type of person. So I think like, yeah, just... It happened, and now just take that with you going forward.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just not that type of person. I don't like having that stuff out there. And you can see me like that when I'm right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Keep us posted, please.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a really big thing to consider. Especially if you're younger and like there's even more technology and more pressure now and like, I remember in high school, there was a lot of pressure to send your boyfriend nudes. It was like talked about and it's tough. Tough, tough, tough. Don't feel like you have to. Don't let people pressure you and keep us posted. Okay, moving along.
Number 4.
My boyfriend, 28 male, and me, 28 female, have been together for 2 years, living with one another for 6 months. I'm currently finishing up my PhD and working as a full-time professor and teaching music lessons as a side hustle. He works in the tech industry, I bring in about 50K per year, and he makes about double. Recently, our friends and family have been vocal about their thoughts that he takes care of me financially. His sister doesn't like me very much and has called me a gold digger. My very single sister has also commented that one of the reasons I'm with my boyfriend is because of his money. His friend has recently commented that my boyfriend needs to worry about taking care of me as an expense. This couldn't be farther from the truth, and I honestly have no clue why they think this.
That's what I was wondering.
We tend to go on lavish vacations a few times a year, but I always pay for my half. In terms of our living expenses, he pays 2/3 of rent because he uses one of the 3 bedrooms as his office. Besides that, everything else is split 50-50 with us taking turns on groceries and eating out. My boyfriend is unconcerned with our income differences and says he's happy with the way we split our expenses, but I'm struggling with my confidence in continuing with a career I love. How can I navigate these untrue assumptions from our friends and family? With his sister, I've made a point to pay for our meals when we visit her. I'm very happy with the way my boyfriend and I split our finances, but I want to know ways to prevent others from assuming that he is handling the majority of our finances and taking care of me. I understand that this may be my own ego issue, but it hurts to think that everyone thinks I may be taking advantage of him when it's nowhere close to the truth. In our larger friend group, the men tend to make more money than the women, who also tend to be on the significantly younger side. For example, I'm the oldest woman in the group, while my boyfriend is one of the younger men. He also just received a job offer to make double of what he's making now, which I think is going to make the situation a lot more present.
Well, you want to take it first or my aunt?
I'm fuming. I'm so mad. My question is, where did they get this idea that he's taking care of you and he's out earning you by so much? And two, why hasn't he set the record straight? Why hasn't he talked to them and said, you guys, absolutely not a gold digger. No, I make a little bit more than her. With the increase, like doubling his salary, that is a decent amount. But you're only 50K to 100K. He's not making $1 million a year where it's a substantial difference. And you're splitting everything really, really fair. He gets an extra bedroom, so he pays more in rent. Even that, I'm like, that's a really, really fair setup. I think, honestly, he should be paying more. If he makes double the income, he should be paying percentage-wise probably more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, where are they getting this gold digger stuff, and why hasn't he set them straight? And then my head goes to
jealousy.
If this is your partner and you guys choose to have kids and you're a stay-at-home mom, are they going to talk even more shit about you? This is not fair for you. And he needs to step up and set boundaries with his family and say, you guys, this is unacceptable. Where are you getting this from? And I don't want to hear it ever again.
You know, it's wonderful, it's wonderful when you live in a household with your, you know, baby daughter, and then all of a sudden she becomes a woman. And then I don't have to open my mouth and say a word because she's actually thought of everything that I've thought about.
God, I was sitting over here just, I'm so mad. It's very frustrating to hear a story like this.
I do. And the one thing that came to my mind is same as you. So was, where did it come from? Where is his boundary? Now, he is now double. He's going to go from 100K now to 150. He was 100 or 150?
I think 100.
And he's now going to go to 200K.
Yeah.
And he might say, you know something, honey? I think we should get a nicer place. Well, because I can make more, I can afford it.
Yeah.
So, you know, in life that happens with, it could be the man or the woman. Today we live in a world that, It's if you're a couple, you're not a couple because you guys make the same amount of money. You're a couple because you find that you love each other and you want to spend time with one another. And if he can afford more and he wants to get a different house, are you forced now to go pay more money that you can't afford because you're going to get a new house? He's naturally going to say, I'm going to assume this extra money because I'd like to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. We're okay. Just, you know, whatever you were doing, that will be the the limit and we can reevaluate with other things in our life later should we need to. So I really think that finances are the boundary of your own relationship with your person. No one else need to be involved. Now, if he's involving people and he's saying this, that's a different story. You know, then he's at fault with this whole thing, mm-hmm. and you have a claim with him to say, what's the deal? But if you guys are good, look, I went out with, typically when I date somebody, I, for whatever's in my head, I like paying for food. I like, that's part of who I am is from my generation. Other people's generations are different. I don't think twice about it because I enjoy being that standard.
Yeah.
So it's not a problem with me. It may be a problem with other people, but it's not a problem with me. And this is between you and him, and everyone else should simply be told, none of your business. Zero. Period.
No. Also, like, if you were a gold digger, do you think you'd be with someone who's only making 100K a year? 100K in today's climate, with how expensive it is to live, it doesn't take you very far. And that's a sad reality. Like, so many people live at or below the poverty line right now because things are just crazy. Like, I'm just so blown away by this one.
If you can look in the mirror at yourself and say, I am not a gold digger, I just love this guy, and this is our relationship, then fuck the rest of the world. Don't even give them that credibility in your brain.
But the problem is,
yeah,
he does need to be aggressive and set the record straight with these people and set a boundary.
Has she had the conversation with him?
Do we have any additional info?
I know, I read all.
Oh, man. Okay.
So that's the first thing that you need to do. If he's aware of this, I would bring it up to him and say, this is what's coming back, and I don't know where it's coming from, but it's certainly hurting my feelings.
Yeah.
And it's weighing on my head, and it's going to become a problem with us if it continues.
Yeah, especially if you choose to get married and have kids. Like, yeah. It's a lot.
But I think it's a conversation you should first open with him and let him know what's going on and say, you know, where is this coming from, and where as a couple together that we put this boundary up with these people, because it's specifically from this person, this person, and this person. I want to make you aware of it because it's really getting under my skin.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Justin?
I think the most important thing to take away from this is the sentence, I'm struggling with my confidence in continuing with a career I love.
Mm.
People spend their entire lifetime searching for a career that they love. And with
Very
the fact
true.
That your boyfriend's going to be making twice as much, you seem to both be able to communicate very well with regarding finances and splitting mm-hmm. things. It seems very fair. He's happy. You're happy. It doesn't seem to be a big issue, aside from the comments from mm-hmm. external people.
Yeah.
You're currently finishing up your PhD. You're working as a full-time professor. You still have a ladder you can climb. You're not locked in at this.
No, not at all.
So here's the thing. I would never, ever, ever consider leaving a career that you love. I just think if it comes down to leaving a career to go on this, like to choose someone that there's all this going on and maybe it is going behind your back and whatever, I would just, at a minimum, the last thing I would do is leave the career. I would continue with it, no matter if you're going to make, if it's going to be a slow ladder climb to make more. But I feel like with finishing your PhD, and it just seems there's so much upside.
Yeah.
That is the absolute last thing I would ever consider.
Oh, that is such a good point, because so many people search their whole lives for that purpose or finding a career or job or area of study that they love. So that is a really good point.
And this is why we have the two of them, because he gets down to the issue that she was really fighting with, and he brought that out.
I just pop off the top.
And this is why Dad can sit here and know that when he ends his days of being here with you guys in this, wait a minute, that I know that my kids and their kids and people behind him are all going to be fine because they process information so well. And I'm pleased. I can just smile through this one.
Yeah.
So to all of us, you know, I'm glad we were able to air all this stuff and come up with and help one another to find the answer.
Yeah, it really takes a team and this whole little family. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I look at all of the YouTube comments on these episodes and it's really amazing seeing people come out and give their personal advice mm-hmm. and sharing their experience. Like we really, really are a big little family. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing. So,
well, and their advice is the strongest.
Oh my God. Yeah. Cause you guys lived it.
Cause they could say, I was with someone who did this and yeah. this is what actually happened. Here's how I dealt with it. And that's much Absolutely. More valuable than what we say.
Absolutely. I think a recent one that sticks out for me is we had an episode where someone was struggling with infertility and PCOS, and we had multiple people comment their experience with it. And it was so valuable and so amazing. And that's what this is all about. So be sure if you have a comment, you're chiming in on the Instagram or the YouTube. And if this is your write-in, please tell us what you did, the conversation, and keep us posted.
So we have one more. This is going to be number 5.
Moving along.
The grand finale. Typically in Roman numeral, it's the V.
The V.
The V.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Dad, Morgan, Justin, Holly, and any guests. This may be a bit long. All names are fake. I started my graduate program in August of 2022. Our ages are what they were at the time this all happened. Katie, female, 22. Joseph, male, 38. Jacob, male, 40. Deborah, female, 48. And me, female, 22. We got close due to us randomly getting together for a group project. Deborah, Jacob, Joseph are all veterans of the same branch. Joseph would flirt with me and Katie. I was, at the time, and still am, single. Katie had a boyfriend of 5+ years, and Joseph had been married for 14+ years. I would flirt a little, just a little, because I am single and I'm allowed to do whatever I want, because I am not committed to anyone, whereas those other two were. Time goes on, flirting goes on between all of us. Come February 2023, I go to Disney parks by myself and completely, coincidentally, see Joseph there with his family. And I end up spending the whole day with them. Katie and I had been curious if him and his wife were in an open relationship due to all the flirting. At this Disney trip, I noticed both his wife and him don't wear wedding rings. I told Katie about this, and she egged me on to ask him if he was, in fact, in an open relationship. At this point, Deborah, Jacob, etc., all of us, are really close. We've shared traumas, we've bonded, etc. So I thought we were close enough to talk about this kind of stuff. So I ask in our big group chat simply, Joseph, are you in an open relationship? Deborah gets mad and says, boundaries. Joseph acts stupid and says, yeah, boundaries. Then texts me separately that I was an asshole and I shouldn't have done that. And that Jacob and Deborah are on his ass now. I apologize solely because I probably should have asked him privately. After that, our friendship goes downhill. Deborah tells me that Jacob wanted to talk to me, aka lecture me, and she proceeds to do it instead, basically slut-shaming me and asking why I would spend a whole day with his family. Well, in parentheses, because he's my friend and I was there alone. Fast forward to now. After my reputation and name have been dragged through the mud throughout my cohort for asking a simple question that, keep in mind, Katie did tell me to ask. And yes, it was my choice to go through with asking. I find out that Joseph has not only had sex with another classmate of ours, telling her that he was in an open relationship, lying, and before I ever even asked the question, and he had sex with Katie. So I am ostracized from this friend group, yet the two people who actually did wrong are not. Now to what I need advice on. I don't care at all to be friends with these horrible people, but I don't know if I should just keep my mouth shut since I graduate in May, or if I should confront them and stand up for myself because I never deserve to be blacklisted like that. So is this a hill I should die on, or should I just move on? Additional info, I grew up not standing up for myself, and as an adult, I want to stand up to bullies and people who try to put me down. Thank you so much, Dad and crew.
I look at these people as being insignificant in the scope of your life. Some people that I know in my life are warriors. Somebody says something, they got to go stick their swords up. They got to go to battle on things that are really insignificant. And as much as people will say, yeah, you got to go get the record straight, you got to do this stuff, my really answer is that they've already shown what kind of people they are. You really don't need them in your life. And the saying that I always think in my head that I learned back probably when I was in my 20s was, win entangled a battle of wits with a fool and won that battle. What did you win?
Yeah.
You won a battle with idiots. So you already know now that you don't need them in your life. You're going to go on with your life without them. You got a long life ahead of you. She's 22.
22, maybe 23.
You know, you got so much. My answer is just rise above all this shit and don't get caught in the quicksand. Move on, go forward. And again, some people are going to be warriors. They're going to want to set it straight. My answer is just put them out of my life and go forward.
Yeah, I'm having a really hard time with this one. I'll let you go first.
I guess just as we're going through it, I feel like obviously it's probably not the right way to ask the question. Despite whatever else all was going on in the background, I know it was innocent. And just out of curiosity, Katie kind of threw you under the bus, I'd say. But it probably would have been one of those times, like when you guys are all sitting, like if it
in person,
if it was more right, like a group chat is, it feels very public, even though they are sometimes more contained.
Yeah.
But it just feels like I would ask that more in the moment of something like that.
Getting drinks.
Or privately, like you're just working on whatever project or whatever, and you just say, hey, by the way, I'm just curious, just as like as a friend, are you in an open, like there's just a way to approach it that doesn't feel like it puts it on a billboard.
Yeah, but also at the same time, I don't think it's that wrong of a question to ask. I don't think it's unfair, especially given the fact that since their grad program kind of started, he flirts with them.
That's right.
Right.
He's opening that door for questions and speculation. Like a married guy who is 16 years older than me, continuously flirting with me.
Yeah.
I would be curious. Well, what's the dynamic between you and your wife?
I actually saw this thing when you were first opening the conversation that this guy was predatory.
He's a creep.
Okay. And is her interest to ask this question because she wants to have sex with him? Or is her interest is to really know what his sexuality is and what kind of integrity does he have to his wife? So if she was really interested when she saw the no rings, her time to really ask the question was when she was there together saying, hey.
You ask him privately after.
Well, why not?
She just met the wife on the first day, hanging out at Disney, trying to have a good time. Not the time or place.
Does she ask him together another time?
Maybe.
You guys don't wear rings?
You could ask, why don't you wear rings?
If you're very bold, yeah.
Because if it's open, it's better to come between the two of them. And there's confirmation rather than him just saying, oh yeah, we have an open relationship within the mind of his wife.
Well, it's like, how much do you care, right? Because these people will be insignificant and you can just move forward. So really, does it
matter in the grand scheme?
So my reason for her really asking was really her own interest. Because maybe she wanted to have sex with him.
Maybe. Or she just was genuinely curious. Like, this guy flirts with me. I hung out with him and his wife for the day. No rings. Like, I'm genuinely curious. And then my friend, who I thought was my friend, is egging me on to ask, which she probably wanted to know because she was already sleeping with him. And she didn't want to ask. Like, it was so bad intentioned on her part, but you did put your foot in it by being the one that asked.
She put her foot in the trap.
But again, I don't think it's that inappropriate of a question. I think this group of people is a little unhinged.
Deborah, like Deborah, popping off the
Deborah
handle,
48,
she can go F off.
I think Deborah's just in a generation that like is so maybe close-minded. Maybe Deb is like a little misogynistic herself. It's weird. Here's where I'm struggling. And we had a hot take at one of the live shows where they were like, being the bigger person is overrated and not something that if you're innocent in all of it, it's not a guilt or a weight that you should have to carry by being the bigger person. I think you should call them out. I don't know necessarily the right way, but I think all of these people have really belittled you. And if you are in a grad program that is a small, close-knit, tight grad program, and they then dragged your name through the mud, that's unfair. I would want to clear my name. And I think depending on the field you're in, it could also damage you professionally going forward. If you're, you know, a speech pathologist and you're trying to get a job and your head of rehab that's hiring you was a cohort member of yours down the road, and they're not going to hire you because of this rumor and your name being dragged through the mud, that's going to be a problem. For me, I would want to set the record straight. And I'm trying to think of like the most professional, healthy way to do it. But I don't think you deserve this. And clearly Joseph is the creep who is sleeping with very inappropriate classmates of lower ages while he's married and not in an open relationship. And hey, send the wife a letter anonymously while you're at it. She deserves to know if they're not in an open relationship. Let's burn it all down.
Well, that's why we have the thing called opinions.
Yeah. I'm also in my revenge era right now.
Yeah.
Or not revenge, because I'm not actively doing anything, but I'm in my promoting karma to do its job era.
Okay. I got a question for you, Karma Girl. You became a doctorate how long ago? A couple of years?
4 years now, about, yeah.
Okay. And you were in this graduate program with a bunch of people. And how many of these people that you actually graduated with out of that class do you associate with every day now or in your life 4 years later?
Not many, but I did just get a group text with everyone in it this morning, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, it was like a class photo and they were okay. Like, miss you all, let's plan a reunion.
All right, well.
I'm also not working in my field actively right now. If I were, it is a very small world and I would probably be working at a hospital with
right.
at least one
but
of them.
But you did not have an affair. You did not get involved in any of that shit. All you did was ask a question and everyone else blew it up that were assholes.
No, everyone else involved is an asshole except you.
Because she kept her body out of this whole mess, my feeling really is walk away from it. It's just stay away from the poison. That it's a cesspool over there. Just stay away from the whole fucking thing. It's just,
yeah.
That's dad's advice. But like I said, we all have opinions.
No, and you could, if you want to be the bigger person route, you could just like start getting close with other classmates. You do have 2 months left until you graduate. Get close with other classmates. And I would, if you want to really, you know, clear your name, get close with a couple other people, go to lunch, go to dinner, have a wine night and just say like, I really appreciate, you know, being able to get close with you. Like I did have a hard time in this cohort with, you know, rumors being spread that were untrue and set the record straight with them. And like a game of telephone, it'll come out in the wash. You don't
That's
have
true.
To do the big group text, but you can plant some seeds with other people and let them do the bidding.
Okay.
That is totally fair.
Okay.
You deserve to have your name cleared.
Mm-hmm.
But others out there, again, we need you guys. So tell us what you think this writer should do. And writer, keep us posted. Congratulations. You have 2 months left of what I'm sure was a tough, stressful grad program, because they all are. And that's all we got over here.
So that's the show for this week. Are we going to be going on to Patreon?
We sure are.
And our group will already be aired.
Oh, well, yes. But there will be a group for April. So come on and join.
So join on in. If you are a Too Hot Take, viewer, as most everybody is, that's on Father Knows, and you're going to the live shows, I actually am going to surprise a few more live shows.
You'll be at the second show in Chicago, the second show in Nashville.
I am so sorry that I missed the Texas tour.
Yeah.
But I do like to go and visit. I certainly like to pop out in line and see people. It's to me, that's the biggest reward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see you then. Good night. And we'll hopefully see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye. Oh, and by the way, don't forget to hit that subscribe button.
Oh, hit the button.
The like. And
leave a comment.
Leave comments.
Even if you don't have advice personally to share, let us know maybe a theme you'd like to hear coming up, or, you know, maybe a guest that's out there that we should have on.
And more importantly, share us with your friends.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Bye.